So what BizDev is, this is about being proactive, not reactive. It's about building a relationship with someone. It's not going in with, hey, I want to sell you on that paint job. It's tell me about yourself. What's important to you? What are your pain points? Thinking about your needs, following up with you, and staying connected. How the hell do I build a BizDev Pipedriver CRM? If you're not sure how to do this, this is one possible way.
This episode is a recording of one of our 2026 Winter Summit Industry Sessions. Every year, some of our top members present to their peers on concepts they've mastered in their business. These are contractors who, after years of coaching and hard work, have truly proven what's possible in their field. For any resources mentioned in this episode and to get more information on joining our community, check out the link in the description. It's all there for you. You're listening to Contractor Evolution, the podcast by Breakthrough Academy, where we systemize contracting businesses for growth. Keep listening to learn how the world's top contractors scale their companies, build killer teams, and make more while working less.
John, floor is all yours, my friend. Go ahead.
Thank you, Boris. So I'm John Malinchuk, as he mentioned. I've been a BTA member for 5 years. This is my coach, Thomas. I'm glad this is the first time I've been in a room with Boris. I read his bio. I was very impressed. I'm like, yes, Boris, awesome. So I'm excited to be here. So just briefly about myself. Yes, that's me on stage last year giving a speech. I was the Community Builder of the Year last year. I was very proud of that. I'm glad to see Alex Johnson has also been nominated for the award this year. Congrats, Alex. Hope you win. So community... service, networking, each of your stories, what each of you does is important to me. That's just how I'm wired. As you can sense, that's probably going to play into this topic because this is more or less what I do for my own business. So as you said, North Central Florida, we're 90% commercial, average job size 20,000, the dorms, commercial buildings, apartment associations, university focused, bidded work with GCs, facilities managers, I could go on. That's all the commercial space. There's other examples. We also do a slice of residential, and you can do residential business development, which is something else I think that doesn't get talked about, because I think a lot of us just assume maybe it's commercial or it's not, and it's you can do both. This will be more commercially focused. So that's me. This is why it matters. So I think in biz dev, just to keep it simple, I'm a biz dev person that wants to get in front of people. This is my ecosystem. I am not the guy who assembles the system. I'm not SOP guy. That's someone like Sean Nagano, perhaps. I know Sean. Sean and I just did a annual review. Sean is systems. I need a Sean to do this. I'm more like his wife, his partner, Jennifer, who does sales for Sean. I'm more of the Jennifer. So which one are you? Are you the guy doing the biz dev, interacting with people, getting excited about the opportunities, seeing the networks, doing the follow-ups? Or are you the guy that wants to build the system that you will need to track each one of these potentials and then to execute and et cetera? Think about who you are, because that's an important distinction. So what BizDev is, this is about being proactive, not reactive. It's about building a relationship with someone. It's not going in with, hey, I want to sell you on a paint job. It's tell me about yourself. What's important to you? What are your pain points? Thinking about your needs, following up with you, and staying connected, right? It's also very important to get in here before the stuff is being bid out, so you can establish yourself as a resource, as someone who can be relied on. Hopefully you don't have to bid against the next five guys because you're all just freaking painters. No, we're not. So you get in there ahead of time, you connect with people, you follow up, you establish a relationship. It's not just to get a lead right off the first meeting, right? So it's developing it and then coming back to that person over and over. So building the relationship, it's not cold calling. It's not really marketing. You obviously need marketing collateral and you need a CRM to help manage this process. You want to go in with nice materials explaining exactly what you do. You need those items, which we hired a marketing consultant to help us with that, as well as a VA help us with that. So you need support to do biz dev if you are going to be actually doing the biz dev yourself. You're focused on creating future work. And this is a tough one, especially in the commercial space. We'll go over this a bit more. And some of the people's Winter Summit plans, one of the frustrations is I bid it here and then we waited here for it to start and then it got delayed. It happens in the commercial world a lot. The good thing about this is you can start to understand the rhythm and cadence, the flow of this. So I meet with them in October. They review the budget by December. Maybe the project will start by February, March if I get it. There could be delays. There are all kinds of roadblocks to getting some of the stuff set up. You will start to learn them and anticipate it and try to work around them with your approach, right? As you're building these relationships. we, NAPR, do biz dev because this was the only way I really knew how to go get business. I started this took it over 2006, didn't know much about marketing, not the biggest SEO guy. I'm like, there's someone at the University of Florida who probably needs painting. Yes. Since then, 18 out of 20 years, we've done a dorm project every May. The dorms have to be repainted. The classrooms have to be repainted. Great. Who makes those decisions? How do I connect with them? We were lucky because we had a tie-in with UF. Little did we know, at a university like that, there are multiple levels, multiple facilities people, multiple opportunities. It's not just one or two people. If you have a smaller college university, maybe in one office or one vendor diversity relations person. At a large university, it's a whole ecosystem. So I had to get in front of someone. How do we become a vendor? How do we follow up? And it's a myriad of different kind of tactics, even with UF. So as an example, the Division of Housing is one. That's the dorms, planning, design, and construction, which in some of your towns will be just facilities. These are the guys, every time they rip up a chemistry building, they replace a dorm building, they manage that job. So sometimes they're split. Facilities is what they call single source trade, rip out all this carpet in all of the law school offices. So facilities will handle that. I'm going to really rip up this whole building and replace it. That's planning, design, construction. So you may see some differences there if you target a university clientele. I had to figure out who they are. What do they need? What's the rhythm here? When do I follow up? Can I go see them? All that stuff. GC bidded work. So naturally, if you have a big institution, a hospital, a university, a school system, the government, right? There are GCs that also bid on the work, especially, and again, this is commercial. So you have in-house people that work directly for one of those entities, but you also have general contractors who are coming in that they're using to rip up work. Great. Are you on their bid list? Do you know who they are? Do you know where you can meet these people who are doing these projects? Because obviously they congregate somewhere, they get together. We had to learn that. One of our sources was the Local Builders Association. I know in the BTA community app, which hopefully you guys are on, we had comments about that. You know, which groups do I join? I would strongly suggest, especially if you're on the commercial side, you should be a member or consider becoming a member of the Local Builders Association. We've been in it for 16, 17 years. I was sitting at this table one time. Rob Edmonds from Sterling Builders was right there, and his guy was next to me. I turned around and looked and said, hey, we've got some painting at the hospital. You want to take a look at it? Sure. A year and a half later, and $300,000 we got out of that because I was sitting there at a lunch, he was sitting there, and I got up and turned and said, yes, we can paint, and he knew I was a painter. It's not always that simple, but because I was in the room and because he had some idea of who I was, we connected and got a bunch of work out of it. It's not always that easy, but you have to be in the position to find these, to connect with people, especially general contractors. So I'm a big fan of doing that. Homeowners associations, condo associations, I knew they existed somewhere. There's an office of disgruntled, frustrated people who have to deal with difficult clients, have to deal with boards that don't work well, that don't budget well. Let's help these people out. What's your need as an association manager? Well, I have to figure out what the roofing costs are going to be on all these buildings. Can you give me a quote? Because we're building money in our reserves. We have no idea what we have to do. The state of Florida passed an act where you have to do a structural integrity reserve study, a SIRS study, because we had a collapse in Miami, killed a bunch of people. All the associations now are required to hire an engineering firm to produce this long 50-page report about how the buildings are doing. The killer, though, is that the budget numbers for each trades are wildly off. I'll get into that in just a moment. But the association we presented to said, can you budget this for us? Because we're finding the numbers are just, they're wildly off. So we're getting this big study from these engineers and the numbers don't work. Great. Those are planting seeds for down the road, right? Because they have your numbers, you're positioned as the expert, you're the resource, you're giving them this nice organized proposal. They can use that. They can now plan for it, which is really, really critical. Obviously, the governmental side, again, the commercial folks in the room, you know what I'm talking about. Are you on the bid list for the school board, the city, the county, the state? I'm obviously in the U.S. I'm in Florida, so it might be a little bit different, but probably in Canada, it's somewhat similar. The provincial level or the city level. My Florida marketplace, we have four projects from the Florida Department of Transportation. You were on the bid list, and you seem presentable. We just got on the bid list, did the rigmarole, followed the steps, got pre-qualified. Some months later, which was earlier last year, we got one project, then another, right? So are you on the bid list with these various entities? Have you had a chance to meet them? Great if you can, for all the reasons. You stab yourself as a resource. They come to you. They gave you the work. No, they did not bid any of that work out. 50% gross margins. Psh, don't tell them that. We haven't spent a ton of marketing for the longest time. It was me or a person that worked with me to get in front of people. Of course, you should do marketing. But for me, the bias is, or the focus is, I still want to get in front of the decision maker. I know some people in the commercial realm believe in SEO. They want to do a ton of SEO. If that's you, that's great. But I've always had this fear of just paying someone a bunch of money and not sure what I'm getting out of it. We had a study look at our area, and there were very few searches for commercial painting. So I said, well, let's get the tools that we need and let's get in front of people. It matters because I think the best projects that you're going to do, especially the commercial space, you're positioned as a resource. There's that connection. You've talked to someone, you've brought them food, you've done a presentation. Hopefully they want to work with you, right? You establish that emotional connection. So they'll just give you the project. You can price yourself, not just as low margin, I have to aggressively bid it, et cetera. You're there to help them, you know, deliver whatever their actual needs are. And every one of these little commercial segments are a little bit different, right? As I said, resource. And then you can give them a time frame, like this type of a project, this is going to take us a couple months. What are your needs there? You know, you can kind of get them scheduled, organized, so they have assurance of when the project's going to start and stop, which I think is really helpful. And you can establish that relatively early on when you start to talk about these projects. Core business dev strategies, we talked about some of these. So vertical focus, multifamily, university, governmental, private commercial, a little bit of residential. On the residential side, I'll briefly talk about that. So we have one realtor presentation. It's with the Thomas Group. It's next week. I know the Thomases. I went to high school with Tiffany. Of course, it's helpful if you have your in. No, you don't have to go to high school with everybody that you're presenting to. But if you know somebody in the room, if Kurt Jansen goes into ABC Realtor in his hometown, maybe he doesn't know the owners, but maybe Kurt knows one of the realtors. Hey, my friend there who's a realtor, can you give us a little bit of props when I get to present? Oh, cool. Here's Kurt. You know, I know him. He's awesome. He's amazing. Can you have someone in the room that gives you a little bit of credibility? Kurt's awesome. I've known him for 10 years. I'm a realtor here at ABC Real Estate Firm. He's about to present. I just want to say he's awesome. He's great. Awesome to deal with. Da, 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 da. Can you find someone to give you a little bit of props in front of the other people in the room before you present? That definitely helps. So with realtors, what's most important to a realtor? What are they really looking for? Hey, I've got to get this house up and ready to be sold. I don't want to spend a ton of money on it. Can I one coat this? Can I make it look clean and fresh so I can get it listed, nice photos, and I can sell it? If I have people coming in, especially if this is a larger home, shoot, I've got to get my furniture in 2 weeks. Can you do this project? Can you be on top of this? We had that happen last year. It was a $30,000 interior. So can you put your slides and discuss what these realtors are going to want? Can you be a resource to them? Can you stay connected with them? I suggest going back a couple times a year, bring them food. So there's FaceTime with them. We have like a 6,000 square feet house. There's tons of wallpaper. It's the Butler house. They've got wallpaper on the ceilings. That's all from the same connection at the Thomas Group. Will you bid on this for us? Remove the wallpaper, paint the inside interior. These people are millionaires. Money is not the object. They can't get the house sold because nobody wants to deal with wallpaper on the ceiling and wallpaper all over the walls from the 1980s. So that all came because of doing biz dev, connecting with that real estate group. So you can do, I think, some residential biz dev presentations to realtors. I think it's effective. So being consistent. You don't have to go out. We have a list coming up here of the different people you can target. You don't need to go and spread yourself across 10 different submarkets. Pick a couple that most align with what you do, or perhaps you have some warm intros, or let's say you already work with one real estate firm. Can you get the other realtors at that firm first? Can you work with the people you know first? Have you really penetrated? I think that's one of the KPIs that we were trying to look at. Have you really gotten to everybody in that firm? Have you gotten all the projects? If you're dealing with one project manager at, you know, planning, design, and construction, can you meet the other six or seven? Can they make an intro for you to them? That's what we did at UF. They all know us. We go to you for paint. All 10 of us know you because you came and talked to us, right? Months before they needed a project. Same thing. Value-based positioning. So your collateral should reflect it, should reflect this. What are you really bringing to them to make their life easier, to deal with their pain points? What are their biggest concerns? If you've never talked to a specific demographic like this before, great. Do you know someone that knows the next set of interior designers or the architects you want to target? Can you find out what they're interested in before you assume and walk in and tell them, right? So find out what those points are and try to really speak to those points when you interact with people. Long-term account ownership. So interesting point for biz dev. So you meet people, you interact with them. These are what we're about. Great. Eventually, hopefully they give you an opportunity. Come bid this. Great. After you've got a project with this new contact, do you go back and check with them after the fact? This was a point that they made about biz dev folks to follow up even after you have that first project to see how it's going. How's the relationship? Are we serving your needs? So that's something to consider as well. Universities, I could do a whole presentation just on that. I'll just say, if anybody really wants to get into universities, happy to go over it with you. The three other guys in my group, I've already found the purchasing websites from the University of New Mexico, University of Louisiana at Monroe. Casey Legrano already was connected with San Diego. I sent it to him anyway. I feel strongly about the university setting. If anybody has a university and you've not worked with them and you want to work with them, I can help you with that. You should be working there most likely. And then, of course, local state. So GovSpend is a bidding site we've used. My Florida marketplace, the state of Florida has their own. Each of the U.S. states probably has their own site, or they may be using GovSpend. That's a good place to go. It's not hard to be set up and be pre-qualified. I have a VA. I have a couple of VAs that help me with this now because it's not my most favorite thing to do because I've done this, 100 times. So I let the VAs do it. I know Ryan Lermont was talking earlier about virtual admins. If you don't have a VA, you should have one. This is one of the things they can do for you to help you with this kind of stuff, pre-qualifications, bids, et cetera. Practical tactics. Jessica and I were here a couple nights ago. We were sitting right next to an attorney, this high-powered attorney from the Bay Area. Thomas was his name. It's a great name, of course. And he's like, LCC. Like, I had to get all these referrals to get my venture capital firm established in San Francisco. So I did lunch, coffee, cocktails. It's a great acronym. Try to go out and meet someone away from their office. You can bring them food. The association people literally told us, just bring us food. Like, could you come back and bring us more food? That's what they said. Sure, we'll bring you more food. And don't bring us shit. Okay, great. Breakfast sandwiches. I'm not making this up. It's what they told us. Take them out to lunch. Bother to interact with them. Talk to them like a human being. You don't have to cram your business down their throat. What are they really interested in? What do they do? You know, what's the flavor of the person? Is this the person that wants to bullshit and talk about college football? What is this person like, right? How do you approach them? You got to really think about that. Presentations, we talked about that. So certain for associations, realtors, we have done a couple. We're going to do several more. We aim to do a couple per month going forward. And then it's going to be following up with those people so we don't lose contact. As we do follow presentations, we're going to try to come up with content that's relevant to them that they're interested in, right? And it can be short. It's FaceTime. You can have a sign-in sheet. I'm going to get all of your names and phone numbers and emails. They're going into Pipedrive. I'm not going to lose you as a contact. I have a separate sheet. If you have a project coming up or you need a project budgeted, sure, write the name of the complex down, the address, and where to go. We did that, and it worked. They wrote down if they had projects that they needed help with. Pre-bid, post-bid follow-up. So again, check-ins. How's the relationship going? How are you happy with our processes? Our sales guy, Mike, getting you what you need? All of that. So checking in on that. We'll talk about the CRM. I have some slides at the end. So we use Pipedrive. Of course, you don't have to use Pipedrive. If you have a different CRM, that's fine. But structuring this in your CRM to track it is very important. We'll show how we're going to do that here in a few moments. Putting your notes in diligently. I met with so-and-so. Here's the follow-up. I'm biz dev guy. I don't want sales guy duplicating what I've already done. You know, Mike can see my notes when he does finally get a bid request. Hey, come bid this. He can see this is what this person's interested in. This is my feeling. This is what they're telling me. We got some of that feedback. I'll go into that in a moment. But just capture whatever you're learning. Don't just put it in your brain and leave it there. Capture it somewhere where other people can see it because it's very important. Networking, socials, speed dating for business. Who doesn't love speed dating? So we did this with the apartment association, the NCFAA. The managers were sitting at each of the table. So it was a rush to each table. You go in, who are my A-list properties? I want this manager, that manager, and that one. The properties are older. I think they need a quote. I know them. Let's interact with them. And then let's follow up with the next priority. It's a great opportunity. We get all the information, goes in Pipedrive. They're on an email campaign, and then we follow up, especially with property managers thinking about when they need quotes. They typically do their budgeting August, September. Associations are September, October, so it's very seasonally based because they have to put their CapEx budgets together for the following year. So you should be thinking about when and how you're targeting people like that. BNI groups, I know that came up in the BTA community. There are a couple of people that are high in BNI. I have looked at BNI. I don't think it's a great use of my time. I might have a salesperson go to that. If you think BNI is great for you, that's fine. I know some people benefit from it. I know our CertaPro owner, Mario, in our area. Mario's in a BNI. Great. Have at it, Mario. I prefer our approach a little bit better. It is something you should consider if you feel like you've got the time, you really want to generate those connections, and then, of course, eventually leads. Or maybe you have a salesperson that can go for you. It is something for you to think about. KPIs, so weekly relationship touch points, so you can track this in your pipeline, in the CRM, meetings per month, opportunities influenced, not just closed. So do we have a follow-up conversation? Was there an interest level there? I have a project coming in 6 months. I'm going to need you for budgeting for this at the fall of the year. I have a couple other projects that we're bidding on, And then you can hand it off to your salesperson if it's actual request for proposal. The BD support of revenue. So this year for us, I'll be assigning there. So JM connection. If I'm doing the biz dev, how many leads, how many closed projects, what that total revenue come out to being, what it actually turn out to be. And then finally, your bid hit ratio and BD support projects, what's the sales ratio look like? There's another one, it's penetration percentage. I have to look at how to do that, but basically that means if you've got one group of realtors and you know a realtor, there are several more realtors, are you really getting full penetration there to all the people in that company, in that office? That's basically what that means. And you should be thinking about how to do that. What does this look like week to week? Input the notes when you go to see people. Think about when and how you're going to do that. For me, the mornings make a lot of sense. I don't want to do this at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I want to interact with people. Is it better for me to go see association managers only for this week? Or do I want to split up between association managers, property managers, and nursing homes? Or how do I want to do this? Think about what's best for your, you know, your mental energy, for your approach. I would like to keep it consistent. So you set up a couple meetings, perhaps on Tuesday morning, maybe you go see some repeat connections there on Wednesday. What's the next step? Make sure you log it. And then with our system, it's going to go in my calendar and we're going to go over the kind of the stages next, but you make that initial connection. Great. When's the follow-up? It should be in your calendar. It should be somewhere you can easily see it, right? So if I talk to Toby on Wednesday, great. I want to go see Toby again in 2 months. Boom. It's in 2 months from that specific date. It should be in there where you can capture it. For BD, I know there are certain people that hire full-time BD managers. That's great. I'm planning on doing this 15, 20 hours a week this upcoming year. I've increased my hours for it over the last 6 months. I, of course, will be using a VA. I'll have some support. If you're sitting here going, I don't have any time after that, especially after that Cam Herald presentation, I got a lot to do. Friday morning, every one of you, Friday morning, if you're going to do BD, 2 hours, commit to that. Do that only. 2 hours, you can do that. Find an hour on one particular day where you can work towards this. It doesn't have to be full-time or half-time if you're like, I'm already doing a lot. And if it's not you, if it's someone else, maybe it is your salesperson, perhaps someone else can help you with it. Try to find a couple hours a week to do it because it's not going to just kind of happen on its own. I think you can do it that way. But this is one possible lineup of how you would do it. Common mistakes. We have no work. It's April. I guess it's time to do BD. It's probably not going to work. That's why you want to get to it early, right? Especially in the commercial space, commercial guys, you know what I'm talking about. You might get pressed early on, like, hey, we're talking so-and-so. Cool. What's your price per square foot or what's this or what's that? You really want to avoid that. I think all of you probably know that. Hey, this is our process. This is what we offer to you. Does any of that matter to you? You know, here's some ways to make your life easier. We can help you with the budgeting. We can help you with this. We can help you with that. And especially in the commercial segments, facility managers, association managers, they're all a bit different. We had one part of the university that said, just come by. Just physically come by and see us every 3 weeks. We have a project for you. That's IFAS. IFAS guy says, just show up every 3 weeks or every 4 weeks. If you're in the area, just come by and ask all my project managers. That's what the guy wants us to do. Other people say, don't show up, check in with us, give us a call, check in every 6 months. Got it. It's in the calendar, says a repeating task item. Make sure it's in your system to track that, right? So be very clear on what that follow-up process looks like. Don't try to do all things all at the same time. The commercial segments are many. You don't have to do all of them all at once. We'll talk about that in a moment. Focus on the ones you've had some success, you've got some relationships with already. Target where you know you're strong, where you're great. Obviously, inconsistency. We hired two salespeople this past year. The first one lasted barely 90 days. God bless Daniel. Daniel was given an opportunity for a man who had camp cabins like that your kids go to. He had five or six of them. The man said, sure, just follow up with me. Did Daniel do that? No. And then the guy wanted a quote and we were caught flat-footed. He blew it. Didn't work out. Be very clear on what the follow-up looks like when people say to you, whenever you can, Chad, whenever you can, Sean, just follow up with me. Hey, would 30 days from now be good? How about 4 weeks? How about 2 weeks? We connected with a general manager of the Best Western Gateway Grand. That's where the Builders Association meets, Josh Wessels. It was on LinkedIn. LinkedIn's a good source to find people, facilities managers, et cetera. Follow up with me in the new year. Great. When is that supposed to be? Hey, Josh, how about January? Would the second week as an after I get back from Winter Summit, would that work for you? Yeah, that's great. I need a full exterior repaint on our Best Western Gateway Grand. Awesome. It's in my calendar. We've already set an email or two to ask. You cannot miss that. You either have the confidence in whoever's doing BD, and then of course your salesperson, the person you're handing it off to, or not. You better have that confidence and they better understand what that follow-up is until they get that connection, until they get that appointment, and then of course, hopefully do the proposal. Make sure it's very clear who owns it, like anything else. Hey, you two are both gonna do this. Uh-oh, we got a problem. Who owns it, right? What are the check-ins? Do you have a GSNR set up for this person, right? Are you reporting in your company meetings? There's got to be some accountability covering this. This, I actually sat there and said, let me talk about myself. So this is something I get excited about. I'm going to have a couple examples coming up. You go to location. This building looks like this needs a paint job. Great. I have no idea who owns or manages this building, but I'm going to find out. I'm excited about that. No one has to tell me to be excited, right? That's me as biz dev. How do you feel about coming to a room like this and talking to people? My salesperson, sometimes he's a little bit encouraging. Mike really warms up when you connect with a few people. I go into a room like, you're interesting. You have an opportunity. Let's talk about you. How's this? How's that? How's that? That's how I'm wired. So do you have someone or is it something that you have where you can connect with people? You can go up and talk to someone, especially when you go to a lunch or an association meeting, et cetera. Can you meet a few people? You don't have to cover the entire room, of course. You could sit at a table, talk to everybody around the table. This is what we do with the Builders Association, actually. Interact. What's interesting? What are your pain points? How are you doing, et cetera? And you can connect, but you have to have some desire to do it. And then you've got to be tenacious to follow up, especially in the commercial space. This can be months of work. We're going to talk about a couple samples in a moment. But if there's roadblocks like, yeah, I've got this project that has all these issues, can you help this person overcome those problems, even if it's not your trade? We've brought engineers to help. We've brought the stucco guy in to help the drywall guy because they needed other things done first before they were ready for paint. We figured out how to do that and it landed us work. And then, of course, being disciplined. Is it captured? Are you following up? Is it in your calendar? I keep saying it, and people are like, yeah, we know. We've got to have appointments. We've got to have, you know, calendar blocking. Are you going to do it? Starbucks. You see this gorgeous building? That's cracking all over the place. It's faded. I'm like, cha-ching, opportunity. So we asked the people, Jessica and I were just there a week ago, hey, staff people, is your manager around? No, he's not in on this day. But his business card... And his boss's business card, the district manager for Starbucks, they're over there by the sugar.
Really?
I grab the business card for both people. I'll jump forward. There they are, Deborah and Ethan. I'm going to talk to Deborah and Ethan. Be great to talk to the manager of that store. The district manager probably has 8 other Starbuckses that might also need paint. Maybe that person also knows the manager for Ocala, which is the county to the south of us, Lake City to the north of us. We could find out, right? So we go in there. Clearly, there's work that needs to be done. This is another form of opportunity, especially if you're in the painting world. This building looks awful. This building needs repairs. Could I have my VA look on the property appraiser's website? Oh, it's so-and-so. Great. I think I know someone who knows that person. Could we be connected, right? Is there someone I can talk to this person, follow up with them? Maybe it's a facilities manager. Can we find them on LinkedIn? These are all methods you can try to use to connect with someone and try to see if they're interested in a proposal. Right? And then using that person's network to continue with other products they may have. So that's a fairly straightforward example. If you know everybody working there, so if we didn't have the manager's information, Jessica, do you know you love Starbucks? You go to the Starbucks all the time. I talked to Lisa. She's a server. Great. Who's the manager there? Can Lisa connect us? Tioga Terrazas. These poor people. So this is a three-story luxury condo set of buildings. There's two of them. It's in a place called Town of Tioga. So very wealthy. Homes are $750,000 above. They have money, right? These poor buildings, you can't really see from this picture. The black stucco in the middle is cracking. It's faded. Looks awful. The guy who built these buildings is still involved in the association. So we got this lead from Fran Cerlante, who was our Sherwin-Williams rep. Fran says, hey, these people, they got a problem. Do you want to come on this walkthrough? That was March. After a multitude of follow-ups, hey, you need a stucco repair guy. We know someone. We brought them in. They'll fix the stucco issue. We have an engineer that can help. Great. Hey, we really want a painting bid. That's awesome. $150,000 of painting these buildings, fixing fences, staining. Great. Hey, can you guys can start on this? Oh, sure. We'd love to. But what about the stucco? So we had to work through all of that. By November, we had a signed proposal for both buildings. And we have since started on this building from that white stucco all the way around. We're leaving the black stucco out. It still has to be repaired. They really wanted action. They want us to show up to their association meeting where they have squabbling owners. They need a lot of in-person follow-up before we even got to creating a proposal. But it was a good example of, hey, we have an opportunity here. Again, our Sherwin-Williams rep. Yes, there was follow-up there in terms of getting what they need, but there were some other efforts put in to deal with their pain points. I think the primary thing here is your reps at Sherwin, Pittsburgh, Benmore, or other suppliers, they're very good sources of people you can connect with. Yes, leads directly as well, but you can also talk to these folks ahead of time. I have a list of property manager names from Pittsburgh Paints. I've never met these people in my life. They're in a hit list. They're going to go into Pipe Drive. We're going to follow up with them, right? So you're trying to use people that you already know to help you with people's names, people you can connect with, et cetera, right? You already or know people like that. You should be using them to help develop potential opportunities. So that was another great example. We'll be doing more of this. Boss Art, we talked about them. This is probably one of my favorite examples. So we had presented to Boss Art before. Boss Art's a very well-known real estate firm. They're association managers, property managers. We knew where the office was, walked in, talked to the office manager. Sure, can you present next week? That's amazing. We got to get these slides together. So during that meeting, everybody signs in. Nice breakfast sandwiches. It's a room like this from me till about the second table back. We're presenting. It's a nice screen like this. We've got the slides. Oh, cool. There's some old projects up there that we currently manage. That's great. Southbrook. Gary Griffin, the GM, who we had heard of, never really met him. Gary takes us to his office. He pulls up a screen. He's got a G sheet. It's a long list of properties, all association properties, 20 or 30 of them. He's like, South Fork Oaks also needs a pink quote. Cricket Club, Charleston Place, Somerset. What else? There were eight other properties he needed pink quotes for. One presentation that we put together and one follow-up meeting with the GM, nine different painting quotes, all 100,000 or so and above, one that we've already won, we'll be doing it here in a month. The other eight are coming up. This was partly, hey, we need to budget for this. We don't have the money for it right now, but we need to know it. So where does all that go? Those are all opportunities. We're going to follow up with each of these managers, with Gary, every 6 months. Hey, we're checking on this. Hey, we're checking on this, right? So it's a lot of follow-up with this. That one presentation, that one meeting, and then subsequent meetings with his managers led to that. So I think this is a pretty strong example of how to do it. We talked about some pain points there for associate managers specifically. Please don't bug me with 30 questions on how to paint a building. Gary looked at me in the meeting saying, if I tell you to go give me a quote on painting exterior, do you know what that means? Yes, sir, I definitely do. I'm going to have some questions about that. If I called you one time after I've walked that property, would that be okay to go over my questions? Yes, it would. Great. And then, of course, I want to present my proposal to him in person. But that connection should lead to additional work, becomes a resource, et cetera. Creative targeting. You're part of a network where you know it or not. You already know people in similar trades. They know people you need to know. Everline Coatings. Their Everline apparently was on Canadian Shark Tank. I guess it's a Canadian company. It's also a franchise. There's an Everline Coatings, which is like street lining, parking lot lining, parking lot coatings. These two young owners have already connected with about 8 or 10 other people I'd like to connect with. So we sat down for lunch and the names started coming out. I know so-and-so who's the facilities manager at the Oaks Mall. I know this person at the local healthcare gym. I know this person. We can connect you with this property manager and Cornerstone Group and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. There were 8 other names. They made an intro for me. I've since followed up with some of those people. I didn't know who the names were, emails, phones. Now I have all that information. It's now going to go into Pipedrive. I'm going to follow up. Conversely, I had names for them. You're not on the bid list for Parrish McCall, for BBBI, for Shearer. These are construction companies. Would you like that intro? So I think this is a key thing when you're doing this. Can I help connect you with people I know? You connect to people you know, right? You know people like that now. You should be using them to help you get in the door with whoever it is you're going after. In my case, commercial general contractors, facilities people, et cetera. Useful meeting. So David Schroeder, Dave and his lovely sons, we have Justin here. Dave, I think, is a guru at this, like asking Dave to explain biz dev in Colorado. He's like, well, I make this list, I find out what they need, and then we just do it. I'm like, Dave, you're amazing. That's so simple. Now, how do you actually do it? So his father is great at this, but, and he, I feel like one of the best at this in BTA. Do you have a target list of names? We assembled a target list of people mostly never worked for before. My exec assistant, Google, LinkedIn, other sources. Here's information I've captured from other people. Put it into a hit list. List them out. All right, let's take this in pieces. Maybe people that we know for or we have a connection with, et cetera, right? And it's also me just tapping into, I know so-and-so worked at the Orthopedic Institute. That's where I had my shoulder surgery done. I was a patient there. Joe Panabella is the facilities manager there. Never met Joe, don't know what Joe looks like. Joe doesn't answer the phone a lot. But they, according to a friend of mine who used to work there, just go by and see him. Just literally drive to the Orthopedic Institute, find his office, and go see him. North Florida Regional, it's one of our big hospitals owned by HCA. There's a facilities office directly in the back. You just walk in and say, hey, can I speak to the facilities people? We're a painter. We worked here before. Da-da-da-da-da, right? So there's things you can do or people you can connect with to help guide you, or you can probably just go to the facility and figure out where you got to go and who to talk to. Right? But you have to have some idea how to do that. So we have a hit list. We're going to be working from it, taking it a piece at the time. As I said, the reps are great places to go. Local tourism board. What does the local tourism board have anything to do with this? Jessica Hurov used to be director of the Hippodrome, the state theater we worked in. Jessica's now the local tourist board director. The local tourism board has a list of all of the hotels, all of them in Alachua County. Can I have your list? Well, of course you can. Great. Put it in the hit list. All the hotels. Can we figure out maybe who the general manager is at the hotel or who manages that hotel? Can we get some names off that? Hey, Anna, get to this. So Anna's worked on that. So that's how we're continuing to try to use people that we know, list of potential contacts, bunch of potential names, and then we're going to go and talk to them and see what, you know, what their interest is, connected, et cetera. LinkedIn, of course, is mentioned. We've already talked about the VA. Anna has helped me with this. This is not something I would do by myself because I want to be the person actually with the FaceTime. This is the really, really valuable time getting in front of the person. Obviously, it takes a lot of time to do that. So if you can have someone help you with this, I'll say again, if you don't have a virtual admin, you already need one. I think Cameron Herald was talking about that earlier with the executive assistant. I totally agree with that. I got to a point 2 years ago. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm tired of it. Thomas knows this. That's when Anna came on, said, Anna, you're going to do all these things. And by the way, start looking at all these different contacts. Go here, do this, put it in a sheet. And we created this list and we've started to continue to add to it. So you need an Anna essentially to help you with this. So this is a beefy presentation. The next few slides, I'm not going to go every part of it. I put them in there. I know it's not necessarily per PowerPoint form. If you're not sure how to define and build out a BizDrive pipeline, this stuff should help you with it. This is actually from our marketing consultant, person who's done it for 20 years, as in not me. I'm not smart enough to do this. So this is how you can define it. Net new, revenue expansion, repeat business. So what are the main goals of BizDev and what prompts it? You can read through this or go over with your staff so you can understand how this is kind of, you know, assigned or defined. Bid invitations, Google Calendar integrations. This is really some of the core components of BizDev. I'm not spending a lot of time in this. If you want the slides to go back over it, you can. But this is kind of defining it for us, how we're going to build it out. This is in our CRM. how the hell do I build a BizDrive Pipedriver CRM? If you're not sure how to do this, this is one possible way. This is our current opportunities pipeline. It was relatively basic. Those were the stages. When they say stages, boom, here's the first opportunity. Here are the follow-ups. Move it over to 1 month. Move it over to 3 months, 6 months. When you move it over, and at least in Pipedrive, it puts a reminder in your calendar, hey, it's now been a month. It's now been 3 months. It's now been 6 months. Your CRM should be able to do that. If you don't have that, you may want to build it in. You who are building out your CRM, maybe this is a functionality you should have. We can go over with you how to do that. This is the new approach where we're going to pre-outreach, outreach in progress, no response, etc. Those nine steps right there define one approach you might have with BizDev. Okay, so that's what those are. And again, I'm not going to spend a ton of time in this. I'll give you the slides if you want to go over them. This gives you the stages of what pre-outreach looks like. This is when you use it. And this is when it exits and goes to the next stage, outreach in progress, right? The first touch is ready to be done. Pause a response, move to connected or follow up. No response, mark closed, lost reason, must be recycled. So it's very, very procedural. It's very methodical about how you would actually do this. This to me, I've not seen anybody really post. Again, Sean, you probably have this in your head or in a sheet because you're good at this. I am not good at this because I'm the one who wants to do it. So as I said earlier, are you the person who wants to be doing BizDev or are you going to be the person designing this? Maybe there's a couple of you maybe you, Mr. Jansen, I don't know, that can do both. But if not, this is one potential way you could build it out in your CRM so you can track all of this, which you have to do, right? Don't waste your time and opportunity to get in front of someone if you can't do this. So again, I know we're moving through this fast. I have the slides. You can use this if you think it's useful. I just want to show it to you so you can see it. Let's see. And then these are the key fields for tracking. So what this means, you when you're in your CRM, right, and you're talking about what's the goal, what's the prompt, here's the sequence, there's the follow-up data, all of these things are how you're going to follow up with these potential opportunities, these leads, right? You go into, if it's a net new, first-time customer, right? Revenue expansion, additional revenue, more penetration from someone you already have met, connected with, maybe you know. Repeat business, rewinning project again based on timing. We painted it for you 5 years ago. Hey, let's reconnect, just like we do with Southbrook. So it's a different set of opportunities. Do you have all those people from 6, 7 years ago? The building is still there, but the manager has changed. Maybe the management company has changed, right? Do you have that in there so you know who and how to follow up with, you know, to connect, reconnect with them? That's essentially what we did on a small scale. And then what's the prompt when you're doing the outreach, et cetera? So again, I would read through this. I know we don't have a ton of time, but you have a good way to define all this stuff now, so you don't have to kind of figure it out. And target audiences, I'll just briefly touch on this. This is a lot. This is mostly commercial. If you're not doing commercial, maybe someday. As a quick look, I'm happy to help with anybody who has never done University of Florida, or the universities rather. At the universities, there are multiple levels. Housing, planning, design, construction, as I said, facilities. There's also the Greek system. I'm Greek, so the fraternities and sororities, if you have any of them there, they have lots of money, especially the sororities. What do they need? Painting. A friend of mine from high school just said, hey, come next week. We have like 6 sororities to talk about. They need repaints. Great. That's a connection I've had for multiple years. So I can help you with these. Obviously, realtors are a great source. We talked about that, and there's some others. Architecture firms, architects need to know who to connect with. They give out recommendations all the time to GCs. Hey, work with so-and-so. They're good at this. Hotels, medical doctors, nursing homes, et cetera. Healthcare, right? So think about how you're targeting these people. Do it one piece at a time. These are the definitions. I'm not going to go all of them for you, but these are definitions on how to describe what you're putting together for BizDev. And then these are some of the attribution fields about who and how you're targeting various people. How did we connect with them? What is the connection? This is how you define it. And again, I know this is a lot of stuff, guys, so go back through it when you can. So, you know, was the event, did we host it? Was it an email marketing campaign? You've got to track all this stuff. What was the source channel? The purpose of doing all this to say, you know, 6 months into the year, this is where we got some of our best sources. This is how we did it. This is what it was. Here was the follow-up. Here was the efficacy of it. This is, again, Sean, you know, this is what you do. So this is an approach you can use to define it in your CRM. So again, go over the slides when you're ready to. This is an example of how to do it, right? So you have a scenario. I forwarded an email from a previous customer. The customer reached out cold him with any prompting. The lead source is repeat customer, source channels, email, et cetera, right? So this is how you would track it in your CRM. These are just examples of how to do that. I know I'm moving fast, but this is just to help explain to you or your employees how to do it. And finally, BTA did do a contract revolution. I asked Benji about this a while ago, and then they were able to find someone to do it. This is a really good contract revolution. You should watch it if you haven't. It's 50 some odd minutes. Totally recommend you go watch the contract revolution. There's some books there you can listen to, obviously tools that you need, and then mastermind groups. Also, we're part of a mastermind group. Highly recommend you consider it. There are different peer groups you can be involved in. Some of them are only sales focused. There are probably BD groups out there as well. You can choose to join one if you wish. There's some resources there. So closing thoughts, you have to build the relationship. You got to do it. It takes a long-term, intentional, disciplined approach to do it. There's an intuitive component to it. You have to really think about the person you're dealing with. It's not just a bullshit session. It's great to see you talk about this, talk about that. Cool. How's it going? Do you have any needs upcoming? What's going on? You know, et cetera. So make sure you get that you think about that when you approach people. And so next steps, if you want to take a scan of that, you can have the slides. It goes, of course, to a Google form. We can email the slides out to you. There's a lot in there. I purposely left that content in there. I knew we weren't going to fully discuss it because I think a lot of people need that. You guys can go over that design of how to do it, the what and the how, the definitions, when you have a moment.
Very good, John. Nice, guys. Let's give John a round of applause there right away.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Contractor Evolution. If you've already subscribed to our podcast, consider sharing this episode with another contractor that you think needs to hear it.